A song from the heart. God wants a song from our hearts. How important is a pure heart before our Maker? What did God have in mind when He created music? Is our joy in living for God obvious to those around us? Does your family frequently notice your free heart expressing itself through songs around the home? Why is there so much emotional and mental anguish in our circles? Do you believe that God can meet your deepest desires and needs? Is it okay to enjoy the beauty of music? Is God pleased with lukewarm worship? Is your God the creator and king of the universe and the savior of your rebellious and eternally lost soul? What would be fitting to bring before such a great God? Singing is directly related to all these questions and so many more. And I've just come to find out in life, I'm finding out more and more the power of my personal song to the Lord and how that flows in significance into my family and into my church and other situations where I'm leading out. If I don't have a song in my heart and expressing it, there's just a block in what can happen with those who I lead. And so maybe my biggest challenge today is to all the men and all the boys, all the young men out there, open your heart to your Savior and sing to Him with your voice. My vision is a lifestyle of singing from the heart, lifting songs of praise to God in corporate worship, singing a tune as you do your chores, whistling as you walk down the road, singing together daily as families, bringing your solo voice to God in personal devotions, church brothers singing together at brothers' meeting, mom singing while doing the dishes, singing every day throughout the day, a heart producing a song. I want to read Psalm 66. Psalm 66. To the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee, and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing unto Thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our Lord, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into Thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay Thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto Thee burnt offerings, burnt sacrifices of fatlings, with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Amen. We see the lavish praise given to God from this psalmist, both in joyful praise out of his mouth and also a song of prayerful lament and calling God into his difficulty. Both are songs that we need to be singing. And he says when he has a right heart with God, God hears him and rewards him and comes to him. And when he holds sin in his heart, his song doesn't rise very far. As you sing throughout your daily life, most of you probably don't carry a hymnal with you. And we should be putting more songs to our memory so they can flow out of our hearts. And throughout the session, I'll be leading in a few songs. And I ask you just to join in by memory as if you're walking about your day. If you don't know it well, hum along. If you know it, sing along. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, a great passage from the Apostle Paul. And in this, we note some interesting things about music for God's people. In Ephesians 5, 13 through 21. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to the other in the fear of God. Here we have a little snippet. Musicologists and theologists and commentators believe from the early church, a little short snippet from a hymn that they sang, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. As they study Scripture, they've noticed in the New Testament a number of places where it seems like the writer, in this case Paul, took a little well-known line that people had sung or chanted, and he inserted it because it was part of his subject line. And this is one. And maybe one of us should put it to music in a new way. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And Paul goes on from there saying, okay, we need light in our lives. We need to put away darkness. We need to call others to do the same. And there's so much darkness in our world. We need Christ's light to shine through. We need to put away the excess, put away the other things that fill us in wrong ways, and we need to let the Spirit of God come into us and fill us with His light. How do we do that? How do we do that? Through singing. Through singing. It's one of the wisest ways to get the Spirit and the Word into your life. He says, don't be unwise. Understand what God's will is. Don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit by singing. And in the sister passage to this in Colossians, he says the same thing, except there he says, be filled with the Word of God by singing. Don't be unwise, but choose wisdom and fill your heart with the Word of God through singing. It is one of the best ways to get anything into you, singing. Notice also that he recommends a variety of singing. He says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What would those mean? Well, it's maybe not as difficult as we make it sometimes. Psalms are just that, the psalms. The Jews had been singing the psalms for centuries, and the Christians continued that. The early Christians, and we still do it today. Now, I think we need more of the psalms. We've strayed from that just a bit, and I think we could sing more of the psalms, but okay, so he calls us to sing the psalms. He calls us to sing hymns. What is a hymn? Well, a hymn is not inherently hear me out here. A hymn is not inherently Christian, okay? So there were hymns to the pagan gods of Greece and so forth. They are hailing a deity, a song hailing a deity. So he said, we need songs of praise to Christ. We need hymns lifting Christ. And so the early church was doing this as well, writing their own lines of poetry about Christ. That's hymns. And spiritual songs. Now, this one, man, is less sure of what Paul meant. What did he mean by these spiritual songs? One person has said it comes from a Greek word that was associated with a fella calling out to his animals in the barnyard. Hey! Whoop, whoop! Something like that. And somehow from that you have just sort of a joyful releasing of the heart, more of a deep spirit sound. And so I can't give much definition there. I think whistling around the house could be involved in this, just a free sound, not necessarily a structured song. There was a fellow that I knew as I was growing up, and we could hear him when he was coming down the road. He would come, he'd work at a little business nearby us, and we'd hear him. He whistled the same little tune every day and throughout the day. It was something like, over and over again, he'd do that. Da, da. And there's a little bit of that just who you are coming out. And so maybe that's part of what the spiritual songs means here. But it could certainly be also just a whole realm of less structured or less songs less directly connected to Scripture, maybe. Certainly one still within the realm of worship of our great God. So we take Paul's advice there, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. One of the key things I want to leave with you this morning, and I'll flesh it out in different ways, but that is to sing sacrificially. Make it a sacrifice of praise. We all like to sing things that we know well and things that we like, things that have moved us in the past. And that's good. That's all very right and good. And yet, there are ways in which God wants us to continue to stretch and sing a new song to Him. He is a great creator and king, and He wants us to come to Him sacrificially. Paul and Silas in the Philippi prison sang a sacrificial song, did they not? When they had been beaten many times, discouraged because how is the gospel going to go forward in this way, probably in a very dark room, it was at midnight as well, and they chose to sing songs of praise, hymns to God. That was a sacrifice. That's hard to do. And God wants us to do similar things. When it's hard, when there's not a song on your feeling to sing to God anyway, to lift Him, and He is enthroned on the praises of His people, He comes to us. Sing sacrificially. David, when chased by Saul, in Psalm 57, he lamented. He was not dishonest. And then he continued on toward the end of that psalm with this: I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to Thee among the nations. For Thy steadfast love is great, it is great to the heavens, and Thy faithfulness to the cloud. That's a sacrifice when your life is this close from ending, when you're being chased by the king. We need to sing sacrificially more often in our lives. And later, David, when given the opportunity to have a free place to offer a sacrifice to God, he said, "I will not. I will not sacrifice to God and it cost me nothing. It has to cost me something for it to be an honor to God." We need to sing sacrificially more often. So some ways that works out in our lives. We need to sing in faith. So we like emotions. Be honest. You like when your heart is stirred and when it feels good, and even when it causes you to weep maybe. You can connect. You like that. And that's okay. That's good. But should that be the basis of our worship? I think not. Our feelings, our emotions are too fickle for that. You know that. And so we need to worship in faith. We need to exalt God first. We need to recognize that His word and His intention for music, I believe, as I look at Scripture, is to recall His word in our lives, to invite His Spirit in our lives. And after those things are happening, yes, our human experience is aided. He comes to us. But let's not get that flipped around. The world uses music completely opposite of that. Number one, to aid their human experience and to make them feel good and to call others into an emotional high. That's what the world's music is all about. And there's a good bit of that maybe in God's church as well, unfortunately. Let's keep that upright and with his purposes of music to exalt God first and to teach his word and invite his spirit. And then in faith, he will meet our needs. We come to worship with needs. We shouldn't neglect, we shouldn't deny that. But let's put God first and he will meet our needs as we come in faith. That's sacrificial worship. Sing when you don't feel like it. Make it a costly sacrifice. We also need to sing with authority. When there's a difficult situation, when we need power over our attitudes, over our temptations, or over our emotions, sing with authority and call God into our situation to help stabilize and bring His word, His truth, His spirit. That takes sacrifice. That's difficult to do. We need to sing with excellence. Worship must be costly to the giver. God commanded the Israelites to give sacrifices without blemish in the Old Covenant. You see that all throughout Leviticus. He did allow the poor to bring something lesser. He said, if you can't bring a lamb or a bullock or whatever, you can bring a couple birds. And so God was gracious in allowing the poor to bring something less. But they must bring the best that they have without blemish. Malachi, later, toward the end of the New Covenant, he delivered God's message of disgust when Israel offered blemished animals. God said, "Would you offer that to the governor, to the king?" "Of course not." He said, "Bring to me what I have asked. Bring the best. I am the king." And certainly he wanted them to do that from their heart of love, not just as a form. There's other places in Scripture we know that a form, an empty form, is also called down. So this philosophy of giving the best of excellence from a heart of worship is brought into the Psalms as well. You see, even in the midst of enemy attack or deep grief or heavy responsibility or repentance or joy or celebration, many of the Psalms were still carefully written. You look at their structure and you notice the Hebrew poetry laid out with style and artistry. So God is a great king, and he loves when we bring our best to him. God calls us to love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, every part of who we are. And part of that, we've been given a sharp intellect, and we enjoy using that in our occupations, in our cooking and education, and we enjoy it every day with the great technology we carry around and that we drive. And let's not be too quick to abandon that when it comes to beautiful songs of praise to God. There's been many people in the past who've written out of a love for God and a pen and a mind that was trained to write something that will last for many years. They've given us something of value that it would be unfortunate if we would sneer at that or put that down. Some of the great songs we sang this morning were written from pens of people who had studied into the art of music and poetry, and they've delivered something to us very valuable that blesses our lives. So let's sing sacrificially. Let's give something that costs in or from us to our great God and King. He deserves all we can give to Him out of a pure heart of praise. Let's also sing with both discipline and authenticity. There's a bit of a healthy tension that exists here. We need both tried and true hymns, such as what we sang this morning, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. That's an excellent hymn. It's been sung for many years now, and it will continue to go on for many years. Let's sing those songs of challenging our intellect and our doctrine. But we also need the heart songs, the soul songs, that will, yes, stir our emotions. Another song of significance, of beef, you could say, substance, that has been going through my mind recently, and I'm not sure how many people here would know it. We don't have to sing much of it, but built on the rock, the church must stand, even when steeples are falling, crumbled half spires in every land, bells are still chiming and calling. And we can stop there. But a song of significance. A good old song there. But we should sing songs that stir our hearts. Sometimes we call them gospel songs or gospel hymns. And I think we should know the differences between these sub-styles in our hymn books and know how to use them. Songs like, What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting. We need to sing with variety from our hearts to the Lord. And there's good, as I just said a little bit ago, maybe you could think of it as sub-styles that we have in our hymnody, our Christian bank of songs. And, you know, when we only stay in one little strain, we get a bit of our minds and our outlook in a rut. We may not be in a bad way, in a wrong place, but there's value in having a little bit of a variety. As Paul said, there's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I think also that's reflected in the nature of the melody and the harmony that goes along with it. Music is a language. Music all by itself says something. Not as clearly as English, maybe, or German, or whatever language you hail to, but music speaks. We could hum or sing la 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 on some different tunes this morning, and you would hear a different emotion, a different character coming through. So don't forget that music is a language. It is not amoral. Music is a morally significant language. Sorry, I got off on a bunny trail there a little bit. A much needed one, maybe. We need variety. Yes, sing with variety. So, we talked about this already a little bit there in Ephesians. And what this does is adds not only adds more interest to life, but it promotes a healthy stirring of our mind and our spirit to hear the different songs that have been created, that are being sung across God's people. And we've already sung some of those varieties just in the session this morning. Psalms, simple psalm lines, choruses and rounds and hymns, four-part hymns and eight-part hymns and so forth. There's a variety here. We also need to sing with regularity. We need to sing with regularity as we go about our day. Why don't we sing more as just a lifestyle? Our children sing. We all hear our children humming, singing along throughout their day. And sometimes we even have to tell ours at mealtimes, okay, it's time to eat now. The singing we'll do just in a few minutes. Right now you eat. But it shows a freedom in their lives, doesn't it? Just a simple joy. Why don't we have that as adults? Is life so difficult that we can't have a free heart with God and sing out of that and express ourselves? So I want to challenge myself and call you to that as well. Songs like, at my work I'm always singing, though the day be cold and long, for my heart's so full of music that I cannot stop my song. I am singing, though the days be cold and long, for my heart's so full of music that I cannot stop my song. That's a new one, I guess. So, sing throughout your day. Whistle, hum, and let your song challenge a free heart, and let your free heart express itself in a song. They go in a circular pattern, okay? So singing music is both formative and informative. It both indicates where your heart is and while it's shaping your heart. And it just works in a great cycle. It can be a vicious cycle if you're singing the wrong music. It can be a victorious cycle if you go with godly music. As I contemplated why I don't sing more throughout my day, and God has helped me in this in the last few years as I've just been challenged with this more. Why don't I sing more as a lifestyle discipline? Part of it is different personalities. We don't all have the same personality, and some personalities are just a little more self-aware. Maybe think about your spouse and yourself and how you're different, and maybe some other brothers and sisters in the church. And it doesn't take long. You just recognize that we have different personalities, different ways we express ourselves, and that influences how we use our voices and sing. But I still believe all of us should be called to more free heart singing throughout our day. Someone told me, I asked them, and someone said, well, they don't want to interfere in the work situation, you know, commands from the boss or whatever. And yes, this is certainly valid. When your boss is telling you how far to measure or where to put the next whatever, it could be a little annoying and without use to be singing back at him. So it's within reason, of course. And even within family situations. But, you know, as I thought about my life and why I don't sing, and I thought sometimes there is a bit of an urge to sing, but I just think about it. I think about it too much. And I choose sort of subconsciously why I'm not going to sing. And often it boils down to pride. Think about it in your own life as you go from here this weekend. Is there pride in our lives that is causing us to not be free and lift our voices to the Lord in a daily, moment-by-moment way? Not wanting to be seen as too spiritual. Not wanting people to hear us and think, oh, he's being insincere. or not wanting to be too free-spirited. That's a little embarrassing. Why should that be embarrassing? We should have free hearts before the Lord. So, let's sing with more regularity. Sing as families. Fathers, lead out daily in your homes with singing, if at all possible. Some of you fathers may not have the background, the training, or the confidence for whatever reason. And in that case, pull together with your wife and lead the family in singing. Do it together. But singing needs to go forward from God's people. But fathers, even if you're a little bashful or not sure how to start, or maybe don't have the best voice or not pitch perfect or whatever you feel like your inhibitions are, go to the Lord with it and ask Him for help and get help from a brother or someone that can help you with your singing so you can lead your family, so you can lead out in other situations, youth groups, churches. A singing man is a powerful man that Satan hates. The spiritual and emotional strength of a singing father in everyday family settings is crucial. Don't restrict your singing to just choirs or church or school. Sing with your family. Sing by yourself. As the meal prayer, probably many of you sing meal prayers. That's a good thing to do. Even if you only know 5 or 6 or 8 of them, sing them over. Learn a couple new ones. You'll find as you sing hymns in church and throughout your life that certain verses of hymns can be used well to thank God for the physical blessings, including food, and you can adopt those. Sing as you're traveling. Sing as ministry to neighbors. And then sing personally. As we end here this morning with this session, I just want to encourage you to sing in personal times with God. Lift your voice. I found, this is just my humble personal testimony that I'm very grateful for. I found that I've enjoyed singing all my life. And I've enjoyed singing in congregational settings and choir settings and whatever, many, many different settings, family. But I found it a little hard to sing on my own, just my personal time, and both throughout the day and specifically in my personal devotions. And I heard someone challenge, or somehow I was challenged with the idea to sing in your personal time with God. God calls us to come before His presence with singing. And so I decided to take up that challenge, and I found in real ways that when I began to release my heart to God, just between me and my Maker in that way, that I began to enjoy congregational singing more. And other singing, other situations where you have opportunity to sing, it began to be much more of a free spirit of worship from me in those settings, flowing out of my personal praise. And I want to call you to try that in your life. Now, not all of us have a personal office or somewhere to get away to, and it's not critical that no one hears you. If someone overhears you, that's probably okay. But it doesn't have to be a loud voice. But lift your personal voice to the Lord. As you think about your life, songs like this come up as you're praying to God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. And then flowing out of that also, I found a lot of strength in temptation, especially in, when I'm alone, traveling, or away from my family, in times of temptation. Lifting my audible voice, singing out loud, is a powerful tool against temptation, men. And certainly it'll work for ladies as well. I haven't experienced that, of course, but lift your voice to the Lord when you're dealing with moral temptation, wrong attitudes against church brothers, relationships. Sing, lift your voice audibly to God, and His that praise, He can enter and fill you with His Word, with His Spirit, and you'll have victory more and more in your life. Sing intentionally. Sing spontaneously. Don't restrict your children from singing. Let them sing. I pray that God would continue to work in our hearts, that there would be a song welling up from our hearts because of His greatness. He is our great Creator and King, the artistic creator of the universe, where we see so much beauty, and He calls us to lift our voices as well, and He values that as very beautiful to Him. And He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend that walks with us daily. He deserves our song. He loves our song. He wants to hear you sing. Let all the world in every corner sing, "My God and King." The heavens are not too high. God's praise may thither fly. The earth is not too low. God's praise is there, may grow. Let all the world in every corner sing, "My God and King." The church with psalms must shout. No door can keep them out. But more than all, the heart must bear the longest part. Let all the world in every corner sing, "My God and King." God bless you.